Our scripture this morning is continuing in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. A man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, "What a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, "Come, the banquet is ready." But they all began making excuses. One said, "I have just bought a field and I must inspect it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me." Another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious, and he said, "Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." After the servant had done this, he reported, "There is still room for more." So his master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come, so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet." What a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. While this is an incredibly true statement, I wonder about the man who said it, sitting there at the table with Jesus. I wonder if he had any idea what his comment would bring. Now, context is so important in Scripture, and this parable is one that needs its context to help us understand it. So let me set the stage for you. Jesus had been invited to a special Sabbath feast at the house of a prominent Pharisee. Now, on the surface, that might look like just a goodwill gesture inviting this well-spoken, renowned rabbi to join them. But the scripture tells us a little deeper part of that story. Their plan was to watch Jesus closely. It's important to know that they weren't trying to discern if Jesus was the Messiah. That's not why they were watching him closely. They had already decided he was not. The guests at the table were there to scrutinize Jesus, hoping he would say or do something that they could accuse him of. They even invite a man with a condition called dropsy, which means that his body retained water and he was swollen. His arms and his legs and his face were all swollen. They set a trap. They were hoping that Jesus would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus avoided the landmine by asking the Pharisees and the experts of the law at the table, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" I think they were afraid to answer because they all remained silent. So Jesus healed the man. And then Jesus critiqued the way the guests had picked the places of honor at the table. And he even commented on the kinds of people invited to the table. He said, "When you put on a luncheon or a banquet, don't invite your friends and brothers and relatives and rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not pay you back." So that's the backdrop. This is what has happened earlier in the chapter. And they're still sitting at that same table when this man blurts out, "What a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God." I kind of wonder if he was paying any attention to the things that Jesus had already said, because it doesn't seem like he really gets it. And so Jesus replies with a parable. So it's important that we pay attention to the audience. This is a parable spoken to the religious leaders and experts of the law. Some of these people likely belong to the Sanhedrin, which is the governing body of the temple and the Jewish people. These were elite, important people, prominent Pharisees. And they are the ones who are rejecting Jesus as the Messiah. They are the ones who are looking for fault with Jesus so they can just shut down his ministry. Now, there are three main elements to the parable: the banquet, the invitations, and the excuses. Jesus tells us that this is a great banquet. So it is something that people would be honored to receive an invitation to. Now, in Jesus' day, they couldn't just send out a text or make a Facebook event, of course. They didn't really even have clocks. So they would send out their servants to spread the word to the people that are invited. They would say, you're invited, we're going to have a feast on Sunday, we want you to come, we'll send you word when everything's ready. So they would know that, okay, on that day after the Sabbath, we're going to go to so-and-so's house for this feast. And then on that day, they would be expecting another servant to come, a messenger to come and tell them, everything's prepared, so please come now. And they would hurry off to wherever this home was to participate. That was the standard practice of the day. Now, if they were not able to go, they would decline the first invitation. But once they've accepted it, now the onus is on them. If they have, for some reason, can't go, after all, they can send a message to the host saying, you know, I rebuke my invitation, I cannot come, my apologies. And that would be honorable. But that's not what they do in this parable. The day of the feast, when the meal is prepared and the time is at hand and the servant goes out, they don't come. When the people should be excited, when the people should be coming into the house and should the host be at the door to greet them and there should be an excitement, they don't come. The ones invited, although they accepted that initial invitation, they don't value it. And they don't value the host who has invited them. If their excuses were real, they would have sent word ahead of time. They would have sent their regrets before the host invested all the preparation and the time and the money. It's as though they just said yes to be polite, but never intended to actually go. Have you ever received an invitation to something where you're kind of like, I sort of feel like I have to say yes, but I don't really want to go, but I'll say yes and I'll hope I can come up with a reason not to go later. Or maybe something better will come up. Or maybe you've been the one who's invited somebody who has felt the other end of that, where suddenly there's this last minute regret. Now, for us, we've been offered this invitation to join the banquet of heaven. Our accepting Christ has given us a place at the table, so we're all going to sit someday together around a table with Jesus as the host. But right now we're in the waiting. The invitation's been given, and we're in this waiting place for Christ to return and to take us and say, hey, the feast is ready, come on, let's go. In the parable, the word that is sent has come, for everything is ready. And oftentimes that's the word we hear at the communion table. Come, for everything is ready. But in our parable, what follows this plea to come is a barrage of terribly lame excuses. Imagine buying land without checking it out first. I remember hearing a story about somebody who did that in Florida, and henceforth that little joke, I've got swamp land to sell you in Florida, it comes out of a true story. They bought it without looking. Who does that? Or buying yokes of oxen without first testing them out. It would be like buying a car you've never driven in. I mean, how many of you would buy a brand new or used or any kind of a vehicle without test driving it? So the excuse is lame. And even if it was real, even if they did do those things, they now own the land and they own the ox, they can check them out the day after the banquet. There is no pressing need. They knew the day of the banquet and they simply disregarded it. And what of the man who got married? Again, well, he knew the date of the banquet and he knew when he was getting married. And if they conflicted, why did he accept the invitation in the first place? And maybe he just didn't check with his fiancée and she said afterward, you can't go to the banquet, we have a wedding. To which he should have replied to the host and said regrets. So again, it's a lame excuse. And all the guests invited offered a lame excuse. Now Jesus is taking aim at the Pharisees and the experts of the law sitting around the table. They are the ones who would relate most to the host and less so to the guests, although Jesus is giving them the guest role. And they would certainly understand the outrage of the host to have been treated so rudely by all of these people. Now, we have a tendency, when we read scripture, to think that maybe we would behave better. And we see this parable, we see this story, and we think, oh, how would they be so foolish? How would they be so rude? If I was invited to the banquet, I would have gone to the banquet. And we like to pass judgment in the pages of the text. But I'm going to caution us not to move so quickly through the story, but to take a moment and find ourselves in it. Sometimes we might be the host, but in this case, I think we're supposed to pay attention to the guests. So the banquet literally is a feast that's to come at the end of times, but there's another invitation that we have. Right? We're invited to live in the kingdom, to walk our daily walk as children of God in the kingdom of God. What excuses do we give to avoid that walk? Jesus says, forgive, and forgive quickly. But do we say, well, you know what they did to me? I offer this excuse. This is too difficult to forgive. It's too hard. Or maybe we offer the excuse, well, you know, I don't want to feel left out. I kind of feel like I could be a better witness if I was mingling more and doing the things that others are doing, if I didn't look different or behave different. So, yeah, I think I'll just not walk the walk. Or maybe, and this is one that some of you might be more, I will get more committed to my faith journey when I retire and have lots of time. Maybe it's, I'm just too busy. My days are so busy, they start so early and they go so long, I just don't have time to give God 5 minutes. If God wanted me to give him 5 minutes, then he should have made my schedule such that I could. Lame excuses. But we justify not doing what we're asked to do through those lame excuses. So we might be a little more like the guests than we would ever want to admit. Because the truth is that if they wanted to go to the banquet, they would go. And if we wanted to obey God's word, we would do it. If we wanted to spend time with God, we would. Instead of offering an excuse, check your hearts. What's really happening there? And the reality in the parable is that they're not just rejecting the table or the feast. They're actually rejecting the host. And so that has a bit of a sting to it. We're rejecting what God offers us as the better way to live when we give excuses instead of our heart. And it doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. I'm not saying that at all. But our hearts need to be aligned and not give excuses to allow for the misalignment. And there is a commonality between the excuses we offer and the excuses that we read in the parable, is that they're putting the wrong thing first. There's only one thing that should be first, and that's Jesus. And when we put anything else first, we've got it out of order. We know that the significance of our life far exceeds our daily activities. But too often we give those activities top place. There should be nothing greater than walking with God in the kingdom. There should be nothing we desire more than to spend time in God's presence. But excuses are given. And the second invitation goes out to say, everything is ready, come. And the rejecting of that is a complete insult. It dishonors and disrespects the host. The host who went through great expense and trouble in preparing the banquet is blindsided by all the rejection. The invited guests who said they were coming had a place ready for them, maybe even a little name card. And so instead the host says, none of you will even taste this feast. But I won't let it go to waste either. And he sends his servant out to find others, to fill the seats, to find the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. It should sound like the list we heard Jesus giving. These are the ones that should have been invited in the first place. And find that stranger and invite and encourage and compel them to come so the house will be full. And here in this parable, we take on the role of the servant because we have a place at the table. And our role now is to be the servant, to go and to encourage and to compel others to want to come to the banquet. Jesus is foreshadowing his own rejection by the religious leaders who refuse to accept the evidence before them that Jesus is the Messiah. They make lame excuses not to come to the banquet. But Jesus is also illustrating to those who are outcasts and downtrodden, the least of these, to say that the banquet will be open for you. You will come and feast at the Master's table. And we who love Christ and follow him are called to the table. But like I said, we are also sent out to be the servants, to find the outcast, the lame, the hurting, the broken, the blind, the stranger, and to invite them to the banquet. We're commissioned to share the good news, to fill God's house. I mean, what an amazing celebration it will be. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I kind of feel like if you've watched Harry Potter and you've seen the big banquet hall, and then there's a wave of Dumbledore's hand, and the main meal turns into the dessert table, and it's just so abundant. It doesn't matter how much is eaten, it never runs out. I kind of feel like that's sort of what it's going to be like. And I heard from a good source, there are no calories in heaven. But what a blessing it will be if we just think and pause for a moment and imagine. Someday that will be a reality, that we will be sitting at this banquet in the kingdom of God, all of us. I mean, maybe there'll be a special area for the Thorndale folks to be all sitting in. I don't know how it's arranged. If it's alphabetical, we'll be way at the end, thanks to Will Cox. However it plays out, it's going to be a magnificent and wonderful thing that happens. A feast like no other. And we already know we have a place at the table. So let's not make excuses about the kingdom living that comes first. Let's not make excuses about not living a life that shines a light, the light of Jesus. That the people we know and care about, the people that God puts into our lives, will also be at the table with us. Go now with the grace of Christ before you. Just as Jesus sent servants into the roads and lanes to invite everyone to the feast, you are sent into the world. Go with open hearts and open hands. Welcome the stranger. Include the overlooked. And share the good news that there is room at God's table for everyone. And may the God who invites, the Christ who prepares the feast, and the Holy Spirit who gathers us together go with you today and always. Amen.